is Nightline.
Tonight, Crumbly sentenced.
You failed his parents.
The parents of school shooter Ethan Crumbly confronted in court by the anguished families of those he killed.
It doesn't appear that either of you cherished or even wanted your son.
The scathing words by the judge.
Repeatedly ignoring things that would make a reasonable person feel the hair on the back of their neck stand up.
Will this change the way other parents can be held responsible? Plus, LeBron's home court, the beginning of the superstar's legacy, and an exclusive tour of the special museum curated by his mother.
It's surreal. It brings back a lot of memories.
The feeling she says she had about her only child.
When did you know this guy has some greatness in him?
And families of the hostages taken by Hamas.
The fact that we've gotten to the 6-month mark is really an emblem of failure for all of humanity.
We check in again with the parents of Hersh Goldberg Poland, who was last seen injured and being taken by Hamas from the music festival on October 7th in Israel.
Millions of people around the world fighting for and advocating for these hostages. They're counting on us.
What the families say needs to happen to bring them home. Plus,
let's get out of here.
Lady Gaga returns to the big screen in Joker 2.
Nightline.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Today in Michigan, the parents of school shooter Ethan Crumbly were sentenced after the historic judgment that found them criminally liable in their son's deadly rampage. The pain in the courtroom palpable as parents and siblings whose loved ones were killed that day in November 2021 were allowed to address the court and James and Jennifer Crumbly. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
You failed his parents. The punishment that you face will never be enough. It will never bring her back.
In a Michigan courtroom, anguished parents speaking directly to the parents of their child's killer.
It is devastating and heartbreaking that it doesn't appear that either of you cherished or even wanted your son. But I wholeheartedly wanted and cherished mine.
Jennifer and James Crumbly, the first parents in the nation held criminally responsible for their son Ethan's school shooting, today sentenced by a judge.
These convictions are not about poor parenting. These convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train.
The Crumblys each receiving 10 to 15 years in prison, the maximum requested by prosecutors and victims' families.
We were good parents. We were the average family. We weren't perfect, but we loved our son and each other tremendously.
And my heart is really broken for everybody involved. I understand my words are not going to bring any comfort.
In two separate trials, first Jennifer, then James, they were found guilty of 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. One for each of their son's 4 shooting victims, Oxford High School students Madison Baldwin, Tate Meir, Hannah St. Juliana, and Justin Schilling. Ethan Crumbly was 15 when he used a gun purchased by his parents to carry out the deadliest school shooting in Michigan's history in 2021.
I am a really bad person. I have done terrible things that no one should ever do.
Ethan later pleaded guilty to killing his 4 classmates and was sentenced to life without parole. Jennifer's trial began in January.
Jennifer Crumbly didn't pull the trigger that day, but she is responsible for those deaths.
Prosecutors ticking through the many opportunities they say she had to prevent the deadly shooting.
And that's what this case is about. It's about Jennifer Crumbly's willful disregard of the danger that she knew of.
Painting a picture of what they claimed was a negligent mother, more consumed with horses and extramarital affairs than her son's deteriorating mental health. In journal entries shown in court, Ethan wrote, "I have zero help for my mental problems, and it's causing me to shoot up the school. And I want help, but my parents don't listen to me, so I can't get any help." The defense countered that Jennifer was like any other busy mom, and the blame laid elsewhere.
She's not a perfect person or a perfect parent.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give as a truth to God?
I do.
Jennifer taking the stand in her own defense, saying before the shooting, she had no reason to believe her son was dangerous.
Of course, I look back after this all happened, and I've asked myself if I would have done anything differently, and I wouldn't have. I wish he would have killed us instead.
Surveillance video played in court shows both Crumbleys at the school for a meeting with their son and a counselor after a teacher discovered Ethan's disturbing drawings. That meeting lasting just 11 minutes, no one checking the shooter's backpack for a gun. And within hours, Ethan would open fire at the school. James Crumbley calling 911 when he discovered the handgun he'd bought for Ethan was missing.
I think my son took the gun. I don't know if it's him. I don't know what's going on. I'm really freaking out.
At his trial, James's attorney argued he couldn't have known Ethan was a danger to anyone until it was too late. Today, James and Jennifer nearly emotionless as the judge announced their sentences.
I just can't get over the fact that this tragedy was completely avoidable.
I believe your actions cannot even be confined into the word failure. Your mistakes created our everlasting nightmare.
Our thanks to Trevor. Return now to a story about parents who loved and love well. LeBron James is among the greatest basketball players of all time. Like many, his roots are humble. The single mother who raised a future legend so proud, she helped open a museum in his honor. Here's ABC's DeMarco Morgan.
With an emphatic right hand.
LeBron James, like he came down from Pluto.
He's a four-time champion, four-time MVP, and 20-time NBA All-Star. One of the world's greatest.
We're experiencing history every time this guy steps on the floor.
But what does it take to build a legacy on and off the court? To figure that out, we went to the source, Gloria James, LeBron's mother, for a tour inside a museum of LeBron memories and memorabilia in his hometown of Akron, Ohio, called LeBron James's home court.
Mama Gloria.
Good to see you.
I think that's important for everybody to understand and feel like they were a part of LeBron's journey.
Gloria James has curated this intimate and immersive one-of-a-kind experience, starting with a recreation of their Spring Hill apartment, number 602.
Just about every black family knows about this lamp right here. You can see it.
The spider lamp.
A sanctuary of safety, stability, and love for a young mother raising her son and brother.
What does this place right here bring back? Any type of memories for you?
It's surreal. It brings back a lot of memories, good memories. It was one of the first places that we were able to call home after a long time of home displacement.
This wasn't an easy road for you.
Absolutely not. There were a lot of challenges. I was a young mother. I was also raising my 10-year-old brother. Spring Hill, apartment 602. It brought a sense of security and safety.
Filled with everything from preserved childhood trophies to plaques, family photos, his favorite magazines, and even his actual TV.
His favorite two shows were Bart Simpson and Martin. And I got so tired of watching that I had to get another television.
But LeBron didn't skyrocket to stardom by just watching shows. He became the event.
When did you know this guy has some greatness in him? This is different.
I really felt that LeBron was different in my belly. Junior high school, he just confirmed it.
This green and gold decked out exhibit, a tribute to his alma mater, St. Vincent St. Mary High School.
These were considered the Fab Five.
And you fed all these boys?
Yes, I did.
The floor is here, the same exact hardwood that would serve as the launching pad to superstardom.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
The real-life legendary white draft suit, just one of the iconic items on display.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that brother nothing that night.
No.
He was clean.
Cleaner than the board of health.
The board of health, that's what they say.
Along with LeBron-like NBA locker rooms,
all filled with authentic jerseys, memorabilia, and an endless wall of game-worn signature shoes. And a tribute honoring the 2016 Cavaliers, who delivered Cleveland's first professional sports championship in the last 50 years.
Cleveland! This is for you!
And while the 39-year-old continues to rewrite NBA history, it's the future here in Akron that will define his legacy for generations to come.
So what do you think his legacy will be?
The works that he's done off the court for the community are I Promise School. I'm there weekly. I see how helpful it is to the children. It's something that's gonna be lifelong.
What do you want LeBron to always remember?
To always stay true to himself, that his mother loves him, and to remain humble. Remember your beginnings. It creates a better story, the real story.
Our thanks to DeMarco. When we return, words of hope and strength from the parents of Hersh Goldberg Polin, one of the hostages taken by Hamas.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Earlier today in Washington, families of eight American hostages met with Vice President Kamala Harris and others in the Biden administration. Together, they voiced their agony and pain. 6 months have passed since their loved ones were kidnapped by Hamas during the October 7th terrorist attack. And no deal has yet been reached for their release. This Sunday, 6 months after that attack, I spoke with the parents of Hersh Goldberg Polin, a 23-year-old Israeli-American hostage, as they continue holding on to hope for their son's safe return. Rachel Goldberg and John Polin, welcome back to Nightline. I have fewer questions, and I just want to listen to what's on your heart and what you want people to know now.
I'd start with what I'm going to call the obvious. 184 days is just way too many. And on day 40-something, some reporter said to us, what if it gets to day 100, what will you do? And we thought, that's crazy. There's no way this saga is going to get into 100 days. So to be on day 184 is just, it's enough. We need to bring these hostages home.
We really are trapped in October 7th. And the numbers change, but we kind of have no idea what the date is. And the fact that we've gotten to the six-month mark is really an emblem of failure for all of humanity.
Could you take us back to October 7th? I believe you were in synagogue, you were at home with the girls. You get a text and your world changes. Walk me through that time.
We had been together the night before as a family. At 11 o'clock on October 6th, Hersh left, kissed each of us, and said, love you, see you tomorrow. On the 7th, I was up early. Air raid sirens started to go off. It was clear there was something going on. Rachel showed the two texts that you referred to, both from 8:11 a.m. The first text said, I love you. The second said, I'm sorry. We knew there was a problem, and we sprung into action trying to figure out, where is he? We found a picture from inside of a bomb shelter. Later that night, four, including Hersh, were taken hostage at gunpoint. It's when we learned that Hersh's arm had been blown off being taken.
Yeah, that video that was released that was so disturbing. But I would imagine in some ways it was encouraging because at least the video showed
while Hearst was injured, he was alive. He got himself in the back of that pickup truck.
I have said from the beginning, it's a video that no person should ever be subjected to with one of their loved ones in it. That being said, within knowing what he had gone through for the roughly 1 hour before, including seeing his best friend killed and losing his arm, he walks on his own 2 feet, pulls himself onto the truck in a way where he looks like he's got composure and some strength. And in many ways, seeing it has carried me, maybe us, through for the last 184 days, just wishing him to continue to maintain that composure and that strength.
Anything since then?
There was the first hostage release starting on day 49, and it went for a week. Of the 100 plus hostages who were released in that period of time, and we celebrated all of them because we had gotten to know their families, none of those people who were released saw Hirsch, heard his name, were told good reason to believe that he would have gotten some medical treatment. And what we're told now is no news is good news. When we're not sharing news with you, consider that a good day.
And you were both saying how you deeply appreciate the support and the prayers from around the world and the hugs. It's time for more now. It's time for these folks to come home.
We are on a team. We're on a team of millions of people around the world fighting for and advocating for these hostages. And we wake up every morning and I think we can't let our teammates down. They're counting on us.
You know, there are still 8 Americans being held hostage. The Biden administration has been amazing to this point, and so has Congress. Both sides of the aisle, this is a nonpartisan issue. Nobody wants to see Americans held hostage anywhere. But we also really need more action. And we are curious why more leverage is not being used.
So it's 184 days today, even more when this airs. Each day this goes on, you add a new number.
Yes.
And you wear these modest tags to reflect that.
You know that this started on day 26 because people kept interviewing us and saying, now how many days has it been? And it was so painful that I decided I'm going to wear the number. And this originated, this idea, because I remember being a little girl and my dad was in the living room with our big fat TV on.
This is an ABC News special. The Iran crisis. America held hostage.
And he was watching the news and it was Nightline with Ted Koppel.
Good evening. Day 52. Christmas Day produced a lot less than hoped for.
And there were numbers on the screen, and I asked my dad, what are the numbers for? And he explained the Iran hostage crisis to me, and he explained that every night the number changes. And I decided on day 26, I said to John, I'm going to do Nightline, but I'm just going to wear it on my chest. And that way, no one has to ask me, because that will be my identity. And very much, I feel like the number is who, it's like a name tag. This is my identity until these people come home.
If Hirsch is watching, what would you like your son to know?
My message to Hirsch continues to be, don't worry about us being worried about you. Just focus on yourself. Stay strong, as Rachel says. We are coming. We are not giving up, and we're going to get you out soon.
We'll give you the last word, Mom.
Well, obviously, I would say I love you, stay strong, survive.
Please know that I and millions around the world keep you in our prayers every day.
Thank you
for continuing to care.
Stay strong, survive. Day 186, our thanks to John and Rachel. Prayers for Hirsch and the others. We'll be right back.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Finally tonight, Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix together on the big screen. The Joker is coming back, and this time he's got Harley Quinn as a co-conspirator. In the just-dropped trailer for Joker 2, Folie à Deux, Phoenix and Lady Gaga team up for a twisted romance, heavy on the twisted. The film hits theaters this October, exactly 5 years after the original Joker.
I want to see the real you.
And that's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.